So good morning, everybody. Just want to commend you for all roughing the roads and braving them and coming in this morning. Maybe some of you's left before the snow fell, started coming. I don't know. But I'm glad you're here anyway. So I'm going to be sharing something with you today, and I don't know if you already know this. You may already know it. So if you get up and go to Tim Hortons and grab a cup of coffee or something, I'll understand. If you go and get a cup of coffee, I don't know if I could handle that. So don't do that, okay? At least I have everybody online. So welcome online as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, today. We thank you, Father, for every day. We thank you, Father, for breath in our lungs. Lord, we thank you for every provision you give us, Lord, for every need that you meet. Father, we thank you for even unanswered prayers, Lord. We thank you for knowing exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. And Father, I thank you for that. Father, I pray over this word right now, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would just speak this word through me, Lord, that you would get me away, Father, and Lord, that you would have your way with this word today, Father, and that you would bless those who hear it, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for that, and we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was in quiet time throughout the week, I've been kind of brewing for a couple of weeks now. It was like God had given me a vision, and I saw this very clearly. And in this vision, I saw some very strong-minded, strong-willed people working harmoniously together. Can you believe that? Strong-willed, very, you know, gifted people working together harmoniously. It was amazing. I saw team leaders, and I saw team players. I could see that any one of them could have led the team. But you know what? There was no vying for position. They were all happy to work together. They were working as one unit. They didn't care about their position because the only thing that they really cared about was the assignment. What was the assignment of the team? What was the mission that God had put them on? They were laser focused, and they knew the plan, and they knew the purpose, and they knew their assignment. In the second vision that I got, I looked around and I saw a very different picture. I saw people, gifted people, who were basically on the shelf. They were doing nothing. They were basically sitting dormant, as if something had paralyzed them. It was like as if they were paralyzed by fear, or they were cynical and critical towards the church, and they were bitter and angry towards the church. And as a result, they were stuck. Not a good place to be. I waited on the Lord to reveal to me exactly what he was saying and showing me in this vision. And this is what I believe that the Lord was saying. I'm going to read this. In this season, I am raising up a people with a warrior mentality in the likes that has not been seen since the dawn of the ecclesia, the early church. I am putting a fire inside my people that will not be quenched. This fire will not be a fire that is seen from afar, but a fire that burns deep within. This fire is for them. It is a sustaining fire. It is a quiet fire, but it is a powerful fire that I have designed specifically for this time and for this season. I am moving my people from a place of being reactive based on emotion to a place of being proactive based on my word. My word, my word, my word. The truth of my word will be the driving force that propels my purposes forward. Do not wait for the feelings. Trust in the truth of my word, and the feelings will come into alignment. For I am waking up the sleepers. I am stirring up the prophecies of old, and I am recommissioning my soldiers, and they will not be concerned about position or rank, for my fire is already burning inside them, and they cannot sit still, lest it consume them. As I was receiving this interpretation, I was almost weeping. It was like, I'm sure you've been in a place where the Holy Spirit falls on you so strong, is so thick, that you can't help it, but you weep. And I was weeping. It was just like, I was just like, Lord, this is amazing. Like, this is good. This is a good word. We need this in the church today. We need some fire in the church today. Amen? Hang on, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Do you know how you know it's God? You know it's God when you feel his presence like that. When you feel the thickness of his presence. I was also excited about this word because I have friends, highly gifted friends, Christian friends, who are basically sitting dormant, no longer involved in the church anymore because of hurtful experiences that they've experienced in the body. The enemy was successful in quenching their fire. And the very sad thing is that he used the church to do it. And not a church family to do it. And that's a sad thing. Highly gifted people sitting dormant, and the enemy is laughing with delight. There's an old song, American Pie. I know Mac knows it. I'm sure all of you do. It's a good song. But there's a verse in it where it says that I saw Satan laughing with delight the day that the music died. Mac talked about sound last week, and I know that some of my friends had lost their sound. They couldn't find it anymore because they had allowed the enemy to get in, to disrupt them, to steal it, to rob them. But Mac also talked about timing, and this was a good thing. I believe that there's going to be a re-release of the saints, a new song with a new passion, with a new fire that will not be quenched this time, because it will no longer be based on the church and how the church made them feel. It'll be based on the active living word of God in their life. They won't move forward because of the people, of what people say that they are, but they're going to move forward because of who God says they are. And there's a huge difference. When that fire is ignited in you, there will be no doubt in your mind that it's God. Do you want to know how I know this? Because when it happens, you won't care what he asks you to do. You won't care where God asks you to go. And you know what? You won't care who God teams you up with. I've had different experiences where, especially in my early days in the church, where I was very judgmental about certain people. And you know what? Every time I judged a certain person, God put me together with that person. In some way or form, I ended up stuck with that person. And you know what? I praise God for that, because it taught me something, and it taught me that a lot of these people became very good friends of mine, and they still are today. So God knows what he's doing. All you're going to care about is, Lord, what is the assignment? And for those of you who are sitting here right now and you're struggling with some sort of offense, I'm telling you, this is for you too. Because when the fire hits you, you will know it. And I'm not talking about just an ordinary fire. I'm not talking about the little flames that we get every now and then that kind of propel us and move us forward. I'm talking about a fire that burns so deep, a fire that burns so hot inside of you. You know it's God. You know that it's Him. And this fire sustains you, and it moves you forward, as I said earlier, as what I got in the vision. It's a fire that you know that you know that you know that it's God. And it gives you the propulsion to move forward. I don't know if I said that right, but it propels you forward. You see, God isn't after your service. He isn't after your attendance. And He's not even after your money. God is after your heart. It's your heart that He wants. And He's willing to do anything that He can to get it. He will put a fire inside of you that will burn so hot, you will want to give Him your heart. He's asking, will you surrender everything to Me? It's funny what we were singing about this morning. And it's funny how Chris got up here and prayed over the offering. And it was, he was talking about surrendering. And who else, it was, and Cass, you mentioned it too, about surrendering everything. Surrendering everything to Him. Because if you do, God is saying, I will light the fire in you that will burn so strong, it will consume any fear, any doubt, any hurt, any offense that the enemy could possibly throw your way. Psalm 91, verse 5 to 6 says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. And then jump to 9 and to verses 9 to 11. God gives us a promise. And He says, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling place, no harm will come to you. No disaster will come near your home or your tent, I think it says in the scripture. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. When doubt is crouching at your doorstep, will you say, doubt, get behind me. The Lord is my refuge. I surrender all to Him, for He is my dwelling place. When fear is consuming you, will you say, fear, get behind me. The Lord is my refuge. I surrender to Him. He is my dwelling place. When offense is gnawing at your emotions, will you say, offense, get behind me, for the Lord is my refuge. I surrender to Him, for He is my dwelling place. You see, that's what warriors do. When the enemy attacks us, the warrior stands. He stands firm in the line of defense, and he stays standing. He stands firm. Do you know why a soldier can stand firm and stand in the midst of attacks? It's because the warrior knows that he has an army behind him. The warrior knows that there are legions of men behind him and women to back him up. Let's read verse 11 again. It says, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. We have a heavenly host of angels ready to swing into action at the Lord's command. All He's waiting for is for you to say, get behind me, Satan, for the Lord is my refuge. I surrender all to Him, for He is my dwelling place. And as soon as we say that, it's like, that's it. The Lord says, okay, go. And the angels are there in seconds, and they will back you up. This is how the kingdom of God works. We don't see this enough. We don't realize that this is how God works in our life. We don't realize the power that we have right there at the tip of our tongue when we confess to the Lord that He is our refuge, that He is our dwelling place. It's with this confidence that we can boldly stand our ground. Vulnerably, yes. But fearlessly and courageously, absolutely. Did you know that the angels also minister to us? Angels minister to us. God uses angels as messengers to us to minister to our needs. Psalm 103, Luke 22, Daniel 9. I'm not going to read all of these. You can look them up. We are not defenseless little Christians, like some people think. We're absolutely not defenseless. We are not alone. We have an army behind us. We have assignments, and God has given us a way to fulfill those assignments. When we feel the flesh rising up, when we see the enemy pressing in, all we need to do is say, Satan, get behind me, for the Lord is my refuge. I surrender all to you, for you are my dwelling place. But we have to be quick. Don't wait. You guys ever had a vacuum salesman come to your house? Stacy's going, what? That happened to you? You ever get a salesman come to your house? What happens if the salesman comes and he knocks on your door? If you don't go to the door and you peek out the window and you see it's a salesman, what's going to happen with the salesman? He's going to go away. You know? What happens if you go to the door and you open the door a crack and you say yes? What do you think the chances of the salesman is going to make a sale? Maybe a little bit, maybe 10%. Okay? What's going to happen if you open the door and the salesman gets his foot in the door? How do you think his chances are of selling you a vacuum then? I think it might go up to about maybe 40%. What happens if you open the door and you let that salesman in your house? What do you think the chances are then that he's going to sell you a vacuum? The chances are probably pretty good. They probably go up to about 80%, maybe 90%. Maybe 100, depending on who you are and how impulsive you are. Don't get any ideas, Tina. I know you're looking for a vacuum. So, here's the thing. The enemy works that way. You give the enemy a foothold. You give him just a little crack to get in. You give him enough time, and he'll work with it. He'll take anything you have. And as soon as you allow him in, you give him a few, you just give him a this much. He'll take this much. You give him this much, he'll take this much. We need to stop the enemy in his tracks. We need to be quick, and we also need to mean what we're saying. When you say that the Lord is my refuge and that he is my dwelling place, mean it. Own it. Trust in him. You need faith. You don't need a lot of it. You just need a little bit of it. And the Lord will command his angels to fight on your behalf. Test me on this. We have to be willing to let things go. Cass, you said you just had a great prayer. I mean, you covered my whole sermon in your one prayer. I mean, it was awesome. You have to let things go like fear and offense and hurt and rejection and much, much more. The only thing these things serve is to bind you and to put a foothold in your life for the enemy. Quickly extinguish them. Stop them right there at the threshold before you allow the enemy to have his way with them. And then submit yourself to the Lord. The fire of God to burn inside of me, not the voice of the enemy to tell me what to do. I want it to be the Holy Spirit. I want him working and active and alive in me, and I know all of you do too as well. I want my crowns. Don't you? I want my crowns. You know, it's not that the crowns are everything. They're not. But you know what? I want them. Do you know that there's 5 crowns that they talk about in Scripture? Do you guys know what they are? No? You want me to tell you? Okay. Did you know? Okay, the first one is the crown. It's called the victor's crown. This crown will be awarded for self-discipline. There's a crown you will get for self-discipline. That's amazing. I can do that most of the time. 1 Corinthians 9 and 25 to 27. The second crown is the crown of rejoicing. Who would have known that you can get a crown for actually being happy and rejoicing? That's amazing. I can do that for sure. I'll take that crown. And that'll be given to those who lead others to Christ. Okay? There's a rejoicing in that. I'll tell you, the angels rejoice. The third is the crown of righteousness, which will be given to those who have a longing for the Lord Jesus and who look for Jesus' return. 2 Timothy 4:8. The fourth crown is the crown of life, placed upon those who have endured and triumphed over trial and temptation and persecution, even to the point of martyrdom. And that's in James 1:12 and Revelations 2:10. Guys, do you hear that? When we overcome, it doesn't only bless us to overcome. We get a crown for it. So I want to be an overcomer. I want to overcome the obstacles and the battles that are and the trials that come my way. Not just because it's good for me, but because I get a crown too. The fifth is the crown of glory, awarded to the faithful shepherds of the people of God and to Christian leaders. Now, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that there's a lot more rewards that we're going to get in heaven. But it's important to remember that Jesus Christ is the main reward, okay? I just don't want to go to him empty-handed. When I stand in front of Jesus, I want to be able to throw my crowns at his feet. Because after receiving our rewards, we are going to see Jesus. And in response, we are going to take the crowns that he's given us, and we are going to throw them at his feet. And we're going to throw them before the throne of God as gifts of love. And we're going to praise him. This is an awesome thing. You know, maybe we don't talk about heaven all that much. Maybe we should talk about heaven a little bit more. I think it gets us excited. It gets our focus on where it is that we're going instead of where we are right now. You know, stupid COVID and stuff we have to deal with. You know, it's like, you know what? There's something better beyond. You know, we're living in very, very crazy times right now. We're living in uncertain times. We don't really know what's going to happen from one day to the next. We never did, but it's not getting much better. Things are really getting kind of crazy. But you know what? The word of God does not change. And God gives us his promises. These promises are like gold. They're treasures. They're there for us to motivate us and for us to lay our sights on them so that we have a hope and we have that that encouragement to move forward. We can easily be led away from God's purposes if we don't constantly pursue the things of God and his will for our lives. And this is in 2 Peter 3:17. Without diligence in that area, we can be lulled into a state of apathy, which is like a lack of passion. I talked to you before about passion. This is what can happen. And ultimately, ungodliness, which will bring no joy to God, and it will bring no joy to us in the end. So, how do we become effective for Christ in this present world? We must make sure that our lives are matching the purpose for which we were created. You see, God is not going to waste his fire. You have to want it. You have to want that fire. You have to want that burning inside of you for God. We must be diligent to pursue God's righteousness through the word, through prayer, through purity, through seeking his will. That's how we live in the light of eternity. That's when the shift happens. That's when we become unshakable, able to stand no matter what we see in front of us, no matter how we feel about the trial that we're going through, no matter what the assignment or position. All we say is, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Do what you will with me." Is there an area in your life that you need to bring to the cross? Is there something in your life that has been holding you back from God? There is nothing too big for Jesus to handle. We need to remember that. Nothing. All it takes is a little humility, and he's just waiting for you to step forward. If you recognize an area in your life where you need to repent, this is the time. This is the time. I want to invite all of you, and I'm not going to ask you to pray out loud for anything personal, but I am going to pray a prayer that I'm going to ask you to pray with me. If there's something in your life that you want to acknowledge that the Lord is putting his finger on, I want you to stand with me, say this prayer with me. If there's nothing, if it's only me, that's okay. I'll do it because I know that there's things in my life that need to be dealt with. So I want you to repeat after me. Father, I want my heart to be burning for you now. I want your fire to burn in me now. Lord, identify and remove everything that is getting in the way of that fire to ignite. I say no to the spirit of control. No to the spirit of fear. No to the spirit of gossip. No to the spirit of jealousy. No to the spirit of offense. I say no to anything that we have put above you. Now I want you to take a moment and I want you to silently ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anything specific that he wants to put his finger on in your life. Don't say it out loud. Now repeat after me. Father, I repent right now for allowing that thing or those things to reign in my life. And I thank you, Father, for your forgiveness, for the price that Jesus paid on the cross. I will not allow these things to reign in my life any longer. I will not allow these things to rob me of your holy fire and my intimate relationship with you. I say, get behind me, Satan, for the Lord is my refuge. I surrender all to you, for you are my dwelling place, Lord. I say yes to the pursuit of kingdom truth. I say yes to your holy word. I say yes to your holy fire. Ignite me, O Lord. I submit to you. Amen. You can be seated. If you feel that you need prayer for anything in regards to this message, I want you to feel free to come up and we will pray for you off to the side. Other than that, I want to bless you all, and I want to thank you for praying that prayer with me. And I thank you for being humble enough to do that. Come on. Yep.
Jerry, you don't know this, but I woke up this morning and checked media to return any messages or whatever, and God said, I want you to listen to that song, American Pie. Jerry did not, we didn't communicate. And God said, I want you to hear the sound that produced a fire that captured a generation. Because that's what a great song can do. And I just hear God saying, the sound that you, each of you, have been given, allow it to produce a fire that will capture a generation. Just like a great song, just like the American Pie. So I just want to confirm Jerry's word on the fire. You know, release the sound that produced a fire that captured a generation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are so amazing. Thank you, Father, for just pulling everything together, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the songs, for the worship, Father. Thank you for the confirmations. Thank you, Father, for being who you are. And I thank you, Father, that you are a good God. You are an amazing God, Father. And you want to fill us with everything that we could possibly allow you to fill us with. You have it. It's there. It's waiting for us, Father. Lord, I pray for this congregation right now. I pray for this body, Lord, that they would open their hands, Lord, and receive everything into their heart that you have for them, Father. I bless them. I bless them to receive, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Father. Lord, I pray for fresh revelation in their lives. Father, I pray for self-revelation, Lord, that they would see the things that you want them to see about themselves, Lord. The things that you want to change. The things that you want to navigate around, Father. The things that need to go. Father, I pray that you give them the eyes to see that, Father. Open their spiritual eyes. And then, Father, I ask that when they receive that, and they start to understand what it is that you're doing through that process, Father, that you give them the divine revelation that they're looking for. Lord, that they will be able to move forward in the goodness and the power and the authority, Lord, that you've placed on every one of us. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Father, we surrender to you. We surrender to you. We surrender all, Father. And we declare and decree right now, Father, that you are our dwelling place. You are our home. Because no matter where we are, Father, we're at home with you. Because you live in us. Father, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I bless you guys. I bless you to have a great week, awesome week.